The Unseen Hand.
The whistle blew loudly, piercing the English countryside, as the 5 o'clock express from Harrogate pulled into Leeds Station. It was the evening of Saturday, December 3rd, 1881.
Which one is Daddy?
Here they are.
The place was busy with activity as people walked to and fro, entering and exiting the train.
All passengers
to
Bradford or Halifax, platform 2.
Porter, excuse me.
Can I carry your luggage?
Where's your sister?
I'll go get her.
I have to check out our baggage.
Where shall I put
Mother?
Them?
All going to Dewsbury, Huddersfield, or Manchester.
Porter, I'm coming.
Children.
All going to Hull or Selby.
That car right over there, ma'am.
Porter.
Yes, sir.
One man was quickly arranging for a porter to transfer his luggage.
Over here.
This gentleman,
excuse me, sir,
a merchant and resident of Liverpool, had just arrived on the 5 p.m. from Harrogate.
Which one is my bag?
But he wasn't leaving the train.
I can carry that,
like
Daddy.
All the other passengers bound for Liverpool, he needed to change to the appointed carriage or passenger car. But unlike many of the other passengers, he had a loving devotion to the holy angels, especially his guardian angel.
All taking the express for Liverpool, platform.
The train would soon be leaving.
May I have your ticket, please?
And so the gentleman swiftly made his way towards his new seat.
Wait for me.
Come on. Let's stay together.
Where's my bag?
Got it.
But as he neared his cabin, he was gripped with a violent yet inexplicable repugnance to enter it.
Goodness.
Shocked by such a strange and unnatural reaction, he tried to shake off the feeling.
Porter.
Calling for the porter to bring his baggage, he once again attempted, with greater determination, to enter the compartment. But as he stood there, his hand upon the door handle, the mysterious aversion grew greater than his determination.
What is wrong with me?
His struggles to overcome it proved futile, and in the end, he relented.
Ugh.
This man would later recall that it almost felt as if some unseen power was pulling him back.
Oh, it's no use.
Is there a problem, sir?
No.
Don't forget to
over here with that, sir.
Wondering what to do, the man suddenly remembered that an acquaintance of his, long forgotten until that moment, lived in that town. He could always catch a later train.
I'm sorry, sir, but is something wrong?
No.
Are you sure?
I've decided to take the next train, that's all.
Well, I know for a fact that the next train bound for Liverpool won't be here for another hour.
Well, I'm really in no hurry. Perhaps it will be just as well.
Hurry, the train is about
Besides,
to
leave. I have a friend in the area. I'll pay him a visit while I wait for the next train.
Goodbye,
as he disembarked from the train,
week's time.
An unexplainable feeling of relief came over him.
There it goes, bye.
Which only increased as he watched the express steam away without him. After a long, tiring walk, he arrived at the home of his acquaintance.
May I help you, sir?
Yes. The gentleman who lives here. Is he in?
I'm very sorry, sir. You see, he's out of town.
Oh, dear. That's unfortunate.
However, if you'd like, I can tell him you were by.
That's all right.
If you have any messages you would like me to relay, I can
No. Really, it's fine. I just had some time to spend between trains. So I thought he'd enjoy a visit. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome, sir. Good day.
Well, that's that, I suppose. Goodness, how'd it get so late?
When he arrived back at the station, there was barely enough time to catch the next train. Finding an unoccupied compartment, and filled with frustration and fatigue, he shut the blinds and was soon fast asleep. Time slipped by. The man awoke. The train was stopped. Half asleep, he peered out. He became anxious when he realized that the train was not in Liverpool, but at a station outside Manchester called Miles Platting. His concern grew to amazement when he saw that it was midnight. 3 hours past the scheduled arrival in Liverpool. Leaning out of the doorway of his cabin, he called to a nearby train guard.
"Excuse me, sir,"
and asked the reason for the delay. The astonished official answered him in a strange tone.
"Don't you know? This train is taking on the dead and the wounded. We've had to stop and pick them up on the way."
"Wounded? Dead? What are you talking about?"
"The train accident, man. Are you the only one who doesn't know? The 5 o'clock from Harrogate to Liverpool."
"The 5 p.m. express?"
"Yes. Now, if you don't mind, sir, we need to move you to the first
carriage."
Stunned,
the man fell back upon his seat as the numbing reality slowly sank in. Later, when retelling the events of that fateful night, he would state,
"The shock of that moment will remain with me forever. When I first learned what had happened, the strange events of that day began flashing through my mind. My unexpected and violent aversion to getting on that ill-fated train.
What is wrong with me?
The strange feeling when I tried to board it anyway, almost as if a hand was holding me back.
It's no use.
The sudden remembrance of that long-forgotten acquaintance who lived nearby.
Besides, I have a friend in the area. I'll pay him a visit."
That impulsive resolution to pay him a visit. So fruitless.
"I'm very sorry, sir. You see, he's out of town."
And yet so crucial in preventing me from reboarding the train. In an instant, I understood. These incidents, so unusual and so frustrating, had actually saved me from serious harm and probable death. And in that moment, I realized that my survival had not been merely coincidence or luck. I had been saved by something far more powerful than chance. I owed my life to my guardian angel. For I remembered how that very morning, like every other since my childhood, I had invoked his angelic care and protection.